It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
COTA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a prison!
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Iconic or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you very much. We certainly do appreciate it. We know you have a lot of options out there. We couldn't do the show without the amazing support of our sponsors. My Patriot Supply has kicked in to help us out with our listeners. We've got a great discount, $100 off, a four-week supply of food. All you have to do is go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. That website link will take you right there. If you're looking for emergency survival food, long-term, short-term, bulk cans, fruit and vegetable kits, meat and protein kits, survival items, water filtration. They've got it all there. Check it out. If 2020 has taught us anything, it is that you've got to be prepared for what's coming next. I mean, what are you going to do when murder hornets come for you? I ask. Get yourself prepared in advance. Don't be an idiot. Check it out. Preparewithmacroaggressions.com is the link. Thanks so much. Well, I'll tell you what. The most important topic that we could be discussing right now, I think, has to be the vaccine agenda in general, and specifically the COVID-19 push and this potential mandatory vaccination, which gives me chills just even thinking about that. So what I wanted to do was bring in some people that are in the front lines here that are fighting against the government, against mandatory vaccinations, talking about just vaccine freedoms in general. We have Brian Festa, Don Jolly from the Connecticut Freedom Alliance, the CT Freedom Alliance. For people that are international listeners, Connecticut is a state right next to New York, and this is going to probably focus on Connecticut because of this. But this is a topic that it's not limited to a specific state, although California has been quite authoritarian in their vaccine mandates. It's not even limited to the United States, because we know that this is going to get exported. So it's important for us to talk about what we see, what's going on, what we can do about it. So Brian and Don, thanks for coming on the program. Tell us who you are, what you're doing, all this good stuff.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you so much for having us on. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome.
I also wanted to let you know that we're not just Connecticut specific, although Connecticut Freedom Alliance is specific to Connecticut, but we are also the founders of We the Patriots USA. And that's a nationwide organization for the United States of America. And we're working with some international folks. You guys might want to follow New Earth News, Sasha Stone and Imani Mamulation. And they're doing some amazing work all over the world. Because as you said, this is a global issue. And we're already seeing these draconian measures really being pushed in Australia, in New Zealand. And it's only a matter of time before it rolls up on our doorstep as well. So thanks for having us on.
Hi, Charlie. It's Brian here, and we're excited to be on your show. Thank you. I think this is going to be a great conversation. It's a topic, as you said, that should be at the forefront of everyone's mind, regardless of where they stand on the vaccine issue or where anyone has stood in the past, because this ain't the past, as you said. 2020, as I heard you saying in your lead-in, as 2020 has taught us anything, we need to be prepared for survival. We also need to be prepared for defense, because they are coming at us fast and furious, and we need to be able to defend ourselves. We need to be able to, and that's not just, I don't just mean physically from physical harm. I mean with knowledge. We really need to arm ourselves with knowledge, because knowledge is power.
Absolutely. Yeah,
for sure. And like you mentioned, this is like an authoritarian Olympics, you know, to see who can be the most draconian.
Right.
In the measures. You've like Australia and Melbourne come out and they say, well, we're not going to let people travel. And this guy comes out on video and he's dressed like a Nazi and he's talking about how, you know, they're restricting travel and they've had to bust out windows to pull people out of the car for not giving their identification. And then New Zealand says, hang on a second. We've got you beat here. Let's talk about mandatory quarantine camps for COVID-19. And it's like, wait a second. Okay, we've been talking, and this has been a slow boil here for a long time, many years, but either this is the end game or it's close enough to it where we can see it from here. Because when they're talking about mandatory camps and they're talking about having to drag you out of your car because you're not providing them information, I think even the most casual observer takes a look at this and says, this doesn't sound like it's about the virus to me. This isn't about science. This is about compliance. This is about you doing what you're told to do by the state. And nobody likes that. But even, but why is it such a crackdown? It makes me think that, that there's quite a bit of pushback, or at least they consider that most people aren't on board with this, therefore they have to come over the top. Now, if this was just a shot that's going to make you better and fix everything, why the massive overreach? What are we seeing here? I mean, this seems like something that unfortunately is going to be exported to the United States, and it might start in California, where we've seen, you know, similarities where the SB 277 bill that was passed a couple years ago, forcing mandatory vaccinations for kids before they enter school. I'm not naive enough to think that that's going to stop with just California. Understand that is a huge part of this problem. And I think that what's interesting that you guys are you're doing a lot more than I am. I'm talking about it. I'm making, you know, I'm complaining about it. But you're actually doing something about it. So tell us what it is. What is CT Freedom Alliance doing to educate people about this? And what are they doing to try and prevent this from taking hold in the United States like it has in Australia and New Zealand?
Sure. So I'm going to back up just a little bit and give you a little bit of background about myself, and Brian will do the same as to why we even got here and why this is so important for us.
Please do.
I joined the Navy when I was 17, and I was fully vaccinated, of course, in the military, and they lost my records. So I got fully vaccinated again. And that meant six rounds of anthrax and God knows how many of everything else. My medical record is rather thick. And I went from being a young, healthy person to someone who developed numerous autoimmune conditions practically overnight. I've been battling them for 18 years now. And thankfully, due to my wealth of knowledge in nutrition and supplementation and making sure that I practice healthy habits, I'm able to keep that under control. But it's a daily struggle. And it takes, you know, it takes a lot. And not that that wasn't, you know, enough of an intro for me to get involved in this whole thing. But then when I had my firstborn, I was still on active duty. And I had done enough research to know, you know, I wasn't going to allow them to vaccinate him in the hospital. That's for sure. I didn't know as much then, of course, as nearly 18 years ago that I know now. But I knew enough that there was no way that that would occur until, you know, he was maybe two or maybe before he went to school. And you know, it'd give me a few more years to think about it, give me a few years to boost his, you know, his immune system and make sure he had a solid footing. And they took that right away from me. And they gave him hepatitis B and vitamin K in the hospital. And they literally went against every single part of my birth plan. It was like, basically, they looked at my birth plan and said, let's do the opposite of everything that this lady wants. But when you're government property, you can't sue. So I had no legal recourse. And I just had to deal with it. And the next 9 months of my life and the first 9 months of my son's life were living hell. He had swelling in the brain. He had encephalitis. And it made... Boy, it was rough. Let's just put it that way. So I was bound and determined that that would never happen to my kid again. That would never happen to any future children of mine, of which I have two healthy daughters after that, that certainly did not happen to because I have given birth at home. I actually had an unassisted home birth with my second child because I said, I don't even trust a midwife. I will do this myself. Women were doing this, you know, centuries ago. There's nothing wrong with me. I have tons of knowledge. And, you know, despite my autoimmune disorders, my body is still capable of doing this. And I did. And it was a beautiful and the most empowering experience I've ever had in my entire life. And thankfully, my girls are extremely healthy. My son has mostly recovered. He still has some things that he has to deal with. But overall, he's doing well. And I was bound and determined to make sure that every parent I could possibly, you know, explain and give them a heads up as to, you don't need to do this. They're telling you that you have to. First of all, you don't. This is your child. This is your body. Here are some reasons why you may want to consider a different path. And I've been educating people in small and large ways for the last 18 years. I believe firmly that I was placed here on earth. Honestly, I know everyone says that, but to make the world a better place. And this is my gift and my curse all at the same time, because it's been a rough road, but it's well worth it. So I'm grateful to be here and to have been connected with so many amazing people along the way. I mean, we have a beautiful community. I know we have our drama like everything else and everyone else, but we really do have a very solid, intelligent, capable community. And I firmly believe we will win this battle. The truth is on the horizon and we're going for it. So that's how I got in. And that's what fuels my passion all day, every day, 18 hours a day. We go hard, you know, we don't stop. And Brian he's built the same exact cloth for different reasons. So I'll let him explain how he got here.
Yeah. So it's been a journey. And I just want to say that, you know, Dawn mentioned that this is her purpose on this earth, is to make the world a better place, and she's doing a great job of it. I couldn't have asked for a better business partner and a better friend. She, you know, I met Dawn the way that we came together, because you asked about how this organization formed, what this organization is about. You know, I saw her give testimony to the Public Health Committee of the legislature in early 2019. And I said, who is that woman? I have to meet her. She did her daughter and her husband did testimonies that were just absolutely amazing and went viral. And so I actually, you know, approached her after that, and we formed a friendship, and then ended up forming this organization out of necessity. I mean, Connecticut was coming at us hard. They are still coming at us hard. We have a state representative who's the House Majority Leader here in Connecticut, and will probably be the Speaker of the House in very short order after this election in November. His name is Matt Ritter, and he pledged in 2015 that it was his goal to eliminate the religious exemption to vaccinations for school children in Connecticut by 2020. So in 2015, you know, when everything happened in California, he's like, yeah, that's awesome. We want to do that here. And so we're going to do that within 5 years. We're going to get it eliminated here too. And he still could do it. They're talking about calling a special session. The legislature's not in session right now in Connecticut. They're talking about calling a special session in September. And then the regular session starts up in January. So if he has to wait till the regular session, he may be a little late on his timeline. But he's made it clear that's especially with COVID, you know, because this is such a scary pandemic, that they really, really feel this is a necessity, because this vaccine that they're going to, you know, supposedly, you know, have ready by then, it's just going to be an absolute miracle cure and be completely safe and effective. And then everybody can finally rip off their masks and go back to normal, which is what they've been setting us up for. This is all, it's very clear. This is an agenda. This is orchestrated. To anyone who's has half a brain, or anyone who's not asleep, they can tell that. But anyway, my personal story, how I got involved in the fight, is because my son was very seriously injured by a vaccine. It was actually the flu shot. I don't know what that noise is. I'm hearing a little bit of a chime, but it was actually a flu shot, okay, which is really the most pointless of vaccines, because as we all know, the vast majority of people that get the flu, seasonal influenza, do not die and do not develop serious complications. Yes, there are immunocompromised people or very elderly people. There are exceptions, people that will get very ill from the flu, but that's with any virus, right? So he got a flu shot when he was 12 months of age, and, you know, immediately had very, very severe digestive problems, you know, that to the point that he was developing a rash in his diaper that was causing his skin to basically burn off and bleed. Very, 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 you know, severe symptoms digestively. And there was then there became a very slow regression. He had been up until that point completely healthy, meeting all of his developmental milestones, and then suddenly started losing the things that he had gained. So, you know, any kind of speech that he had, any kind of motor skills, he started completely losing those, and then started becoming fixated on things like spinning wheels on toys and running water. And he could run his hands underwater for literally, like, you know, an hour straight and just be focused on that. So he regressed into autism. You know, we didn't get any vaccines after that. A lot of people talk about the MMR, and that's the one that most people focus on when they talk about vaccines being a cause or a contributing factor in the development of autism. But he didn't even get the MMR. It was the flu shot, and that's actually been confirmed because now he's developed a very serious autoimmune condition. Which is an autoimmune encephalitis. So there's that means there's swelling in his brain that causes very, very serious neurological symptoms. And his immunologist, who's a brilliant, brilliant woman and a researcher also in this area with childhood autoimmune diseases and disorders, she has confirmed that it was most likely the flu shot that caused this, because that is a known cause of his particular condition. So it's really, really sad, but one thing it did is fire me up. I'm not the type to back down from a fight. I'm not the type that when something bad happens to me to just roll over or roll up into a ball and cry. You know, Don and I are both fighters, like she said, and that's what we intend to do. So we formed the Freedom Alliance to educate and to also fight back. So we were very involved politically, and we're also very involved in advocacy and outreach, and that's the reason we formed.
So pretty much we got started. We got started last fall by both hosting and attending events, mostly in the region here, but I've also been down to DC on numerous occasions, lobbying on a federal level as well. We intend to do more of that once this pandemic has, you know, slowed down or stopped or whatever direction we're going to be going in. You know, that is if I'm allowed to get on a plane and fly anyway, and this COVID pass doesn't go through. But that's a conversation for another day. That's probably an hour slot right there. So So yeah, we've been fighting legislation. We've had, I can't tell you how many bad bills, trying to mandate the flu vaccine, trying to mandate HPV, allowing children to get vaccines behind their parents' back without any authorization whatsoever, taking away the religious exemption. I mean, we had 12 or 13 bills, and it's just a constant battle here. Plus, we got the idea to form We the Patriots, really, because we were networking and partnering with so many other activists and leaders in other states, primarily in our region, a lot of work in Massachusetts, in New Jersey. I'm sure you heard about what was going on in New Jersey. We were, a big part of that in just being there and offering support and showing up and getting people from Connecticut to drive to New Jersey and show solidarity. And we've been asking for the same in return. So we've partnered with New York a lot. And we said, you know, why don't we do this in all 50 states? Because, you know, especially depending on who ends up being the president, and that's a whole nother conversation too. We don't know what this is going to look like. What if they just start attacking this federally? Because they say, hey, it's taking too long to go state by state. And some of these states are really resistant. You know, the blue states are really kind of easy to knock off. California was a breeze. New York was a breeze. You know, Connecticut, Massachusetts. All right, we'll get all these. But, you know, some of the other ones are going to be a little bit tougher. Why don't we just do this on a federal level? And I do think that's what we're looking at if Biden gets elected. I just do. I'm just going to throw that out there.
And you know, just to interject, you... It's extremely important we do this on the federal level. I didn't tell you much about myself. You know, I am an attorney. I practice civil rights law. And looking at legislation from a national level, it's going to be extremely, extremely important because I do believe, I agree with Don, that if Biden gets, well, I should say if Kamala Harris gets elected president, because that's what it is. But this is absolutely going to be a federal mandate, regardless of the fact that that is unconstitutional. I'll tell you right now, they can't do that.
Yeah, take that, Alan Dershowitz.
But it doesn't matter. They would do it anyway. And that's a conversation we can have as well about the constitutionality of trying to mandate vaccines everywhere. It's not actually legal or constitutional. And the Supreme Court hasn't said that there's blanket authority for states to forcibly vaccinate someone even during a public health emergency.
Yeah, Jacobson versus Massachusetts is like probably the most widely misinterpreted case of all time.
Yeah. There's, we can talk about, yeah, it's 115 years old, but they didn't actually say that, that the state can do, basically, if there's a public health emergency, they can do whatever they want, regardless of how extreme it is. In fact, they said the exact opposite. If you read the concluding paragraph to that decision, they said that there will be instances where the state oversteps their bounds and the courts need to step in, and extreme cases can be readily suggested, as a direct quote, actually.
So here we are. And that brings us into our lead in as to what we're doing on another level, since we can't legislatively do anything with, our legislature being shut down right now. So we're suing. So Brian could tell you all about the lawsuits we have going on right now.
So we have a lawsuit.
Please do.
Yeah.
Jason Goodman is a friend of mine. And he's the one that had Alan Dershowitz on his show when he got in, when Dershowitz made that comment about when he brought up that 115 year old court case, and they got into it a little bit. And Alan Dershowitz, to me, and I don't think many people would disagree with this, he's one of the most reprehensible human beings I've ever encountered on television or through interactions with people close to me. I can't imagine a worse representative of the mandatory vaccine, or actually more of it, I should say, a more accurate face for the mandatory vaccination initiative than Alan Dershowitz's face, because that's who I see whenever I see this. And I'm curious, as a civil rights attorney, how does, and I know you're going to get into the lawsuits about this, but how do you remove the religious exemption? How do you do that?
Well, because they say that there is no major world religion that opposes vaccines. Now, first of all, that's untrue. We had a religious freedom conference that we hosted. You can find it on YouTube, actually, the Connecticut Freedom Alliance Religious Freedom Conference. If you look that up on YouTube, you will find it. It was a wonderful, it was like 3 hours long, 3 or 4 hours long. And we had clerics from almost all major religions, world religions, as they say, major world religions, Judaism. We had you know, Protestant Christians. We had Catholic priests and a bishop. We had, so we had rabbis, as I mentioned. We had a lot
Muslim
of, we had a Muslim cleric as well. We covered most of the major world religions, and they all gave very, very strong, forceful arguments as to why there are legitimate objections to vaccinations in their teaching. I mean, you're talking about vaccinations that contain bovine DNA, that contain swine DNA, that contain aborted fetal cells, okay, which is the most reprehensible. And to say that there's no legitimate objection simply because the Catholic, I'm Catholic, okay, simply because there was a letter, not a papal bull or something or an encyclical, but simply a letter from one office in the Vatican that gave its opinion, not official church teaching. Anyone that knows about the Catholic Church, church teaching doesn't come from there. It comes from the magisterium of the church. And there's a very specific and very narrow scope of what's considered official doctrine and dogma. And that's not part of it. Okay. So put that aside, even if it were true that there's no major world religions that oppose vaccinations, it would be irrelevant because the Supreme Court has never said that the First Amendment's protections, religious protection, only extends to major religions, major world religions. There was an article in the USA Today that came out on August 6th where three professors from Case Western University, Case Western Reserve University in Ohio, said that that it would be patriotic for there to be a COVID-19 mandate, okay? And they argued this in part because, part of their plan was that all religious exemptions should be removed because none of the major world religions oppose it. But again, that's irrelevant. You can have a conscious objection. The Supreme Court has actually said, there's cases Seeger versus U.S., Welch versus U.S. in the 1970s about conscientious objections to the Vietnam War, if you remember the conscientious objectors, okay? It said when they were analyzing the particular statute, okay, the draft statute, they were talking about in both the majorities, but even in the dissents in some of those opinions, talked about the fact that a personal belief is akin to this, deserves the same protection, a personal belief in any kind of a higher power, a deity, your personal beliefs that are, even if they're not attached to any church or any major religion, are afforded the same level of First Amendment protection as would be official church teaching beliefs. So it's really, and I wrote a blog post actually in response to this. I'm one of the writers right now I've been the only writer for the Connecticut Freedom Alliance blog, but we're hoping to bring in more writers soon. But if you look that up on our website, ctfreedomalliance.org, there's a link to our blog. And I wrote a blog post about all of this. But anyway, I wanted to make one comment, though, before I talk about the lawsuits. You were talking about what's going on in Australia and New Zealand and different parts of the world and how this is popping up. And there's like a race to the bottom here with these not only with vaccine mandates, but with these basically what are internment camps or concentration camps, really. I mean, I had a thought, you know, the analogy or the comparison is a very apt one to the Nazi death camps and concentration camps. When we're, And the Nazi agenda, what, you know, how they were trying to exterminate a whole group of people or groups of people, really. However, this is even worse because this is happening not only, this isn't only one government doing it. This isn't just the Nazis, okay? It's many different governments around the world that are popping up trying to do this all together. Right, it's happening in parts of Europe. It's happening in Australia, New Zealand. It's happening in the United States is where they want it to happen next. Okay, this is very clearly a globalist agenda. There's no doubt about it because it's not just one government, and that's why it's worse. Because if they are successful in achieving what they want to achieve, it won't just be the Nazis. The Nazis were bad enough, but it will be everyone or most of the developed world.
And third world countries, because that's who they're going to use as guinea pigs, because that's what they always start with, right? Right after the military, right after first responders. Who did Melinda Gates say that she wants to vaccinate?
Africa.
Yep. And then who after that? All the black and the brown people, because she loves them so much.
Yeah.
Wow. She is such a generous soul, let me tell you.
And lest any of your listeners or any of your trolls think that Dawn, who is a Caucasian woman, has no right to speak about this, she is actually biracial. So, you know, and she does have African blood in her. So for anyone who wants to try to make that argument, that can go right out the window.
But it's just a pure fact at this point. She went right on national TV and she said it. So
right.
There's no speculation.
They always attack the poor communities. They are the guinea pigs. We saw it in Tuskegee. We've seen it many times throughout history that black and brown communities are the ones that are attacked first.
And actually a great book about that is Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington. Absolutely amazing, amazing read that goes so much deeper into this topic and touches on much, much more than Tuskegee. I mean, there's a lot to be learned about this topic because most people are simply unaware of how many times the same exact thing has happened time and time again, even in very recent history. It's happening now. So
it's absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
And I remind people that the Guatemala syphilis experiment was conducted by Johns Hopkins, who was involved in this event 201 with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum. And so it's like, oh, well, it's Johns Hopkins. They're a great medical facility. We should trust them. Okay, that's fine. But just remember who they are. Remember what they've done. They've been busted doing unspeakable things to people. So it's not like, you know.
And that's just what they've been caught doing. God only knows what we haven't even found out about yet.
I'm sure
there are tons of things we don't know. I learn something new practically every single day. And unfortunately, it's almost all bad.
Dawn's our doomsday prophet here every single morning. I can count on her first thing in the morning. It's like, good morning. Look what's happening. The world is ending. It's like, oh, I get a text from Dawn. It's like, I got to stop looking at my phone and the first thing in the morning.
I'm with you. I'm the doomsday guy too. And I try not to be, but I mean, if I could do a podcast that only talked about birthday cakes and unicorns and rainbows, I'd love doing that. I would mean that all of these problems are
my 5-year-old daughter would love that.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I'm trying to focus on things that I find to be important. And the important things are often, you know, a bit on the dark side. It's where are we going? Where are we being marched into? It seems like we're, you know, the medical establishment. I think a lot of people that are, well, people that listen to this show probably get it. But a lot of just the casual observer, they don't understand what Big Pharma's reputation is. They don't understand the darkness. They just see them and go, wait a second, these are all trained doctors and healthcare professionals that care about us. Why would you ever be against that? And it's like, I have to sit people down and kind of go into a little bit of the background and explain that all of these major pharmaceutical companies are convicted felons. They've all killed people through their products. They've all paid hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars collectively on fines for their products not working the way they're supposed to. And then so what? We're just going to mandate a mandatory vaccine that may or may not have gone through the right sort of testing with RNA type. I mean, the whole thing is preposterous.
We may have skipped animal studies.
We're the animals.
Don't you know it, Charlie? No, Charlie, don't you know that vaccines are the unicorn? They're the special thing that the one thing that the pharmaceutical companies don't do wrong. OK, right. Everything else, people, mainstream media and the mainstream public is willing to go along, whether it's Vioxx, whether it's Zantac, whether it's breast implant. The opioid crisis. Anything else, they'll raise their hand and say, oh, yeah, pharma's evil. Big pharma's evil with that. But with vaccines, that's like
they can do no wrong.
They can do no wrong.
Bobby always says. Yeah, they have angels working in the back in that department.
Yeah. It's cognitive dissonance is what it is. And it's just, you know, I saw a great meme this morning on Facebook, which is, it showed a girl. It's actually the girl from Stranger Things. You know that, I don't know if you've seen the series, but the one that, you know, the ice cream shop girl. And she's holding up a sign that says, and the look on her face is just priceless, but it says, it's just as easy to buy a scientist as it is to buy a politician.
That's so true.
Okay? So true. So people say, oh, come on. They're not like politicians. They can't be bought. Really? Human beings can be bought. It has nothing to do with what industry you work in.
Except, but, except for people with very strong principles. And that's what we base every single decision in our lives about, is just very, very strong principles. And I have an interesting experience, not only having served in the military, but I actually worked for Pfizer. I oversaw the global vaccines, consumer healthcare, and oncology divisions. So, while I signed an NDA, so I can't exactly speak freely, I can say that it confirmed what I thought going in. And I know these things to be true.
Okay.
So you can't tell me there's not incredible amounts of corruption going on and bribery and everything under the sun that you can probably imagine.
Yeah. See, I struck gold with Dawn. I got not only a military veteran, and we thank Dawn for her service, but a former pharmaceutical exec. I mean, who else could you have better on your team? I did want to talk about the lawsuits, because I know you had asked me, or Dawn had brought that up too, and I said I was going to talk about them.
And quickly, before we do that, we're going to switch over just a little bit from vaccines and take it a step back as to what we're dealing with in this moment, which is the mask mandates, right? Yes. I feel just as strongly about the mask mandates as I do about the vaccines, despite the fact that there's nothing being injected into your bloodstream. But it's the same thing. It's the exact same argument. It's the same. It's actually worse in a way from the point of it's a symbol, and it's something that can be immediately recognized. Like, nobody would know previously if you were a quote unquote anti-vaxxer, right? If you kept to yourself, nobody even knew. You had your exemption and you went on your merry way. Now it's evident. Oh, you're an anti-masker. You're selfish. No, I'm intelligent. I need oxygen to breathe. I have, and now we're being required to have doctor's notes. So you know what I have? I wrote myself a doctor's note, signed DCS. I'm a doctor of common sense, because I can read scientific studies and interpret them and tell you that not only is it ineffective, it's also dangerous, and it can cause even more problems. I'm not worried about COVID. I'm not. And I have an autoimmune condition. I have several autoimmune conditions. I'm immunocompromised. I'm the person you're supposed to be protecting. I don't need you to protect me. You go do what you need to do to protect you, and I'll protect me. I do protect me. I eat organic food every day. I prepare my own food. I hardly ever eat out. I can count, I don't know, 3 times a year I eat out at some organic restaurant. I drive 45 minutes out of the way to make sure it's a clean source, you know? Yeah. I take my supplements. I drink my water. It's filtered water. I don't touch tap water. I go to bed at a decent time. I start my day with meditation and yoga. I take care of myself. I don't need everybody else on the planet around me to wear a stupid mask that's nothing more than a ritualistic practice, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not getting involved with that.
I felt like,
so anyway, we're suing the state. So I'll let Brian tell you about that part.
Please do.
Well, yes. And so the lawsuit we filed, we have two state representatives who are attorneys, who are
both Republican,
of course, and have filed this on behalf of the Connecticut Freedom Alliance and two parents. And there's going to actually be more parents added to the second part of the legal action that's going to be filed, very, very shortly, either it's later today or this evening or tomorrow, it will be filed. But basically, the lawsuit is against the state of Connecticut and the Department of Education, because they issued a mandate in late June stating that they issued a mandate saying that all school children must wear masks in order to attend school. And so we don't believe in that. We think that is harmful, both physically and emotionally and psychologically, actually, for these children. And these parents oppose it. And so we are fighting back. We are not going to accept that. They did this pursuant to no authority. They didn't even have any kind of statute or regulation. It wasn't even in one of the executive orders, actually. Not that that would be, that wouldn't be law, but people treat it as such. But, they had no authority to do this, and it was wrong. And in Connecticut, we have a constitutional right to an education. So it's actually recorded in the Constitution that there is a right to an education for every child in the state. So this is infringing upon a state constitutional right. I've also filed other lawsuits against the state regarding the, and this wasn't on behalf of Connecticut Freedom Alliance, but just personally and on behalf of my wife, representing my wife, for a freedom of information request related to the vaccine legislation, because they're withholding 44 pages of documents they don't want us to see about their backroom discussions about this vaccine bill, which is probably going to reveal all of their motivations behind it. And I'm fighting to get that. So that's some juicy stuff there that I think is really, really important. And then also the Connecticut Department of Public Health illegally released students' vaccination status. They released school by school vaccination data. So the percentage of kids that had religious or medical exemptions specifically in the state basically showing the percentage of kids that was vaccinated every school that were vaccinated every school. And that's very, very dangerous, because at very small schools, especially with special needs students, some of these schools with special needs students may only have like 50 kids. And so if they had a high percentage, like the school that my son attends, that has only about 50 students and a very high percentage of, it was actually the seventh highest in the state of any school, instantly that school started getting targeted. And there were all kinds of phone calls, and the other parents besides just me were very, very up in arms about it, that, oh, we're going to be targeted as the unclean. Like, this is a leper colony now. And my kid goes to this school, and now because this has been exposed, you know, he's been, he or she in some cases has been exposed to this, this kind of scrutiny and harassment. And so that was illegal, because there's a state regulation that says, point blank, all immunization information collected by the department shall be confidential. You're not allowed to release this. And they just completely ignored it. And they know they're wrong, because back in 2017, the former commissioner of public health had testified on a bill to try to make it legal to release the school by school data. So they had proposed a bill, the legislature had proposed a bill, and the public health commissioner had testified in support of that to try to make that public, because he knew that it wasn't legal to release it. So he was trying to get that bill passed so that he could release it. Well, the new commissioner came in and she has since been fired by the governor, actually. But the new commissioner came in and public health commissioner came in and just completely ignored that and pretended like that regulation didn't exist. So that's another lawsuit. So we have actually three ongoing lawsuits against the state right now that we're in some way involved in. Like I said, the one that's officially the Connecticut Freedom Alliance as a plaintiff, though, is that mask lawsuit. And I think we're trying to do everything we can to get at least some kind of temporary restraining order put in place before the school year starts. We only have about a week or a week and a half in some cases until that happens. But we're doing everything we can. And anyone who would like to donate to that cause, because we do rely 100% on donations for all of the work we do, be it advocacy or the outreach events or the legislative work or lawsuits. It's all completely funded by donations. So anybody who would like to make a donation to our organization or to the lawsuit can go to the Freedom Alliance website at ctfreedomalliance.org, and you'll see there's a donate button on that website on the homepage. And you can also go to our Facebook group, and we have another Facebook group called the CT Mask School Mask Lawsuit Group, and that has two different fundraisers specifically for the lawsuit, which is both a Facebook fundraiser and a GoFundMe fundraiser. And so there's different ways to donate, but we do. If you're going to make a general donation to the lawsuit, if you're going to do a general donation through the website, just put a little note on your if you're doing the PayPal option, just put a little note there that this is for the lawsuit. So make sure it goes to the proper account, because that lawsuit account is completely independent. It can't be commingled with any of our general funds. So we just want to make sure it gets to the right place. So we really do appreciate that support. We the Patriots has a website that's in development. It should be released very soon, because that's a fairly new group. We created that on July 4th of this year, on the 244th birthday of our country. This year seemed most appropriate to be forming a group like that, to partner with organizations from all across the nation to fight back against all of these draconian, illegal, unconstitutional mandates, and to stand up for freedom, to defend, to preserve, and to advance freedoms, and to create even more freedoms. So We the Patriots USA, that's their mission. We're actually going to be doing a joint event on Labor Day weekend. This is a big announcement between We the Patriots USA, and the Connecticut Freedom Alliance. I'm actually let Dawn talk about that because I'm sick of hearing myself talk.
So we're doing
For the first time ever.
We're doing a 24-hour marathon-style fundraising event in which we're going to have so many amazing speakers. Charlie has graciously offered to be one of our speakers. We have Del Bigtree, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. James Lyons Weiler, Dr. Brian Hooker, I believe Mary Holland. We have tons of other people that are going to be on the schedule, and we're still waiting for confirmation from a handful of other amazing speakers, but it's a hell of a lineup, and we are going to really kick off so much information to people. So whether you've been in this fight for decades or this is the first time you're ever hearing about this, you need to be listening in. We're going to be having interview after interview for 24 hours straight. And it's going to be a fundraising opportunity for all of our guest speakers, as well as our organizations, so that we can continue to do the work that we do, because it's such an important job and we have to stick together and help each other out and advance all of our collective efforts. Because I do believe, like I said earlier in this conversation, we are going to win, but it's not going to be an easy battle. It's a tough one, but we're going to do it. So let's keep going.
They've got almost unlimited money. Their association with the mainstream media makes them very tough to defeat because they silence any sort of division, any sort of conversations. I know that we don't have you. I know you guys have to run to another event. I appreciate you being on so much. People, if you want to get involved, the website is ctfreedomalliance.org. If you can afford at this moment to donate money, and please consider doing so. If you're in a position where you can't donate money, you can spread the word. Send it out. Use social media. Get the word out there. This is an important deal. If you don't have kids and you might think that this doesn't impact, it impacts everybody. This is not real.
Oh, yeah. When you can't go to the grocery store or get your driver's license renewed or hop on a flight or a train, you can't go to work anymore. Oh, yeah. It's going to affect each and every one of us. When people are like, oh, it's only in California. Oh, no, it's only for people with children. It's only for people who don't homeschool. This is coming for everybody.
That COVID-19 mandate that USA Today article talked about, that's what they were proposing for every man, woman, and child, to be mandated with a vaccine that will be the most unsafe vaccine that's ever been released.
That doesn't even exist. That's the hysterical part. It's not like we've already developed a vaccine. We've proved its safety. We've proved its efficacy. It's going to be a game changer, right? You have to have this. Of course, we wouldn't agree with that anyway. And we would know that would never even be possible. But that's besides the point. We already had it out. Then at least a person who knows nothing about this could say, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, I could see how someone could go along with that. How anyone can say this far, you know, where we're standing now, say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. We don't even have a vaccine, but we should mandate it. It might not work. It might kill people, but we should mandate it. That's a great idea. I mean, what thinking person could...
It's idiotic. It would be funny if it wasn't so damn serious.
Absolutely.
We are empowering the least trustworthy people in the world to make these decisions. Politicians, the mainstream media, and big pharma. I don't trust any of them.
And big tech. Don't forget about big tech.
And of course,
because we can have a whole nother conversation about 5G.
And please do have us back. Definitely. Please do have, because that is another one of our initiatives we work on is 5G activism and fighting back about that. We're involved in a lot. We are hands in a lot of different
parts. Oh, yeah. Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights.
Where have you people been my whole life? This is fantastic. I love you guys. This is great. These are the things that are important to us. These are the things that don't.
That's right.
They don't get discussed on the nightly news because we understand that the news is controlled. They're important to us for our freedom currently, for the future. We know that these things never get rolled back. We're still taking our shoes off to get on airplanes. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
So if you think that this is somehow just a fad or a temporary measure, it's always a temporary measure until 20 years later you look back on it and go, you know, that temporary measure still is in place. Seems kind of permanent to me. So
for
everyone listening, please get involved. This is if you want to talk about the battle, this is the battle to get involved in. It's not, and now is the time. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist here. I'm trying to be objective. And objectively, what I'm seeing is that now is the time. This is the battle. This is the front lines that we're going to be. I've agreed to hop on with your 24-hour marathon session.
Yeah, Charlie, you're going to be on. Let's plug Charlie a little bit. Sure. Charlie's going to be on at 1 in the morning our time.
Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time. So for those of you in Charlie's neck of the woods, that will be midnight, his time. But it'll be 1 in the morning Eastern. If you're Pacific, obviously, that's 11 p.m. No, excuse me, 10 p.m. That's 10 p.m. if you're...
I encourage everybody that's drunk to tune in on this late Saturday night, because we're going to have a vaccine conversation. You might be too drunk to remember it the next morning, but I promise you it's going to be a good one.
But tune in earlier in the day before you start drinking, too, because we're going to have some great guests all day long. It starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday, September 5th, and goes till 10 a.m. on Sunday, September 6th. We're doing it Jerry Lewis style, the Labor Day weekend marathon. It's going to be great. And tell people also, or I'll tell people right now, if you want to find us on Facebook as well, or as I so lovingly refer to it, fake book.
Or fascist book is what I call it.
Fascist book. All those things. You can find us on CT Freedom Alliance.
Hopefully you can find us. Our group, we woke up one morning a few weeks ago and our group was just gone. And luckily our administrative assistant pinged them and they actually reinstated us. I was shocked that they did. Wow. I couldn't believe it. But it was like, hey, we just grew like 2,500 members and they were literally gone overnight because we had just started the group a few weeks prior. But we have public pages, we have private groups, we have public groups. So you could definitely find us on Facebook, We the Patriots USA or CT Freedom Alliance.
Twitter.
We're also on Twitter. You can follow us at Keep CT Free or at We the Patriots US. We'd love you to follow and tweet on both. We're starting up some Parler and Instagram accounts. We're not quite there yet. We use mostly Facebook and Twitter at this point in time. Although we do have an incredible news channel on Telegram. So if you go We the Patriots USA on Telegram, a lot of great people have some really good channels now. I follow David Avakalo Wolf. We have Before It's News. Dr. Rashid Batar has a great channel on there. Green Med Info. There are some really great ones. And we have a really good channel as well. So if you want to keep what's going on around the world, it's a good channel to follow because I ingest probably hundreds of articles and studies on a daily basis. And I share the knowledge. So check us out. We hope that you will get active, get loud, be brave, and let's do this. We have a country to save. We have children to save. We have a world to take back. So let's do it.
I am with you. That's Brian Festa and Don Jolly from CT Freedom Alliance. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Let's all get involved and make sure that this stops right here. Hey, everybody. Thanks. Share the show. We know the algorithms won't do us any favor. So if you like what you heard, do us all a favor and share it. Thanks so much, everybody.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.